Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. It's good to be back with you again this afternoon. I want to thank all who are here. I appreciate so much you coming and being here tonight as we sung these songs and prayed, and as we're now about to study from God's precious truth, His Word. You know, life is filled with decisions, and one cannot live life without making decisions. However, many times people find themselves in difficult, sometimes almost unmanageable situations that leave them on the fence. When that's done, such people find it very difficult to make decisions, and we usually use the expression, "he's on the fence," because it's difficult to decide one way or another. And this may be because the alternatives before them are uninviting. They hesitate to make a decision because each decision leads them down a road they don't want to go. And so they straddle the fence. It's like what one preacher said. He saw a sign on a road that says, "Pick your rut carefully, you'll be in it for the next 5 miles." And that's the way it is with making decisions. It directs us on a certain road, and if all the decisions are uninviting, then we hesitate to make those decisions. And, you know, a good example of this is the decision to become a Christian. You know, becoming a Christian is making a commitment to Christ. And in making a commitment to Christ, it involves discipline. It involves giving up certain pleasures in life. It involves making a change in one lifestyle. It may be giving up, and it will be giving up, your comfort zone in life. But on the other hand, denouncing Christ and not becoming a Christian means that we'll end up in eternal hell. And in the minds of people, both decisions are uninviting. I don't want to make that commitment. I don't want to live that kind of life. And also, surely, I don't want to go to hell. And so they end up straddling the fence. And they somehow sometimes justify themselves by saying, "Well, God understands the plight I'm in. God understands how difficult this is for me, and He's going to be with me through this." The lesson tonight is designed to urge each of us to get off the fence and make some decisions. And it's not just the decision to become a Christian, but it's other decisions that we face in life. And I just could mention a few here. Here's a woman that's wearing certain clothing, and she comes to realize, or at least she hears a preacher preach on it, or reads in 1 Timothy 2, that certain clothing is immodest. And so she is now faced with a decision whether to give up this clothing that she's wearing and to wear different clothing. But in order to do that, that means that she's going to have to buy a new wardrobe. It means that she may be viewed by her friends as being kind of odd and weird. But she knows also this is what the Lord wants her to do. So what decision should she make? It may be in marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Here's a person who finds himself in a marriage that is unscriptural. The Bible calls adultery. He has divorced his wife for some other reason besides fornication. He's married again. The Bible says that second marriage he commits adultery. And now what is he to do? Well, getting out of that marriage is something he really doesn't want to do. He loves his second wife. And he wants to stay with her. But he also wants to obey the Lord. The Lord requires him to cease the adultery. And what is he to do? And he may again justify himself by saying, "Well, God knows the plight I'm in. He knows how difficult this is." And on and on we could go in other decisions that we have to make, and it's daily that we have to make decisions. Maybe even concerning a brother who's been overtaken in a trespass. He's unfaithful. He's sinning. Well, I know I need to go and talk to him, but going to talk to him is going to rock the boat. I don't know what kind of response I'm going to get from him. It may be that our relationship is now never will be the same again. But at the same time, I know that his soul is in jeopardy. The Bible teaches that. What am I going to do? I've got to make a decision. Also, it may have to do with various issues like marriage, divorce, and remarriage that we've mentioned. It may have to do with like the work and organization of the church. I'm a part of a congregation that takes money out of its treasury to support human institutions and to provide for social and recreational activities. And then I come to realize, well, you know, the Bible may teach that that is wrong, or some believe that that is unscriptural. But I don't want to get out of this church. I don't want to change churches. I like where I am. So what do I do? Do I study this diligently to find out what truth, and whatever the truth is, I make the changes that I need to make? Or do I stay in my comfort zone, stay where I want to stay? What I'm saying is, when we face those kinds of situations and we see that the decisions that we make can be very difficult, let's get off the fence. Let's don't straddle the fence, but let us make the decisions that we need to make. And that's what I want to talk about. Get off the fence. First of all, I want to emphasize the fact that indecision is in reality a decision many times. In making the decision of whether or not we become a Christian or not, indecision is a decision in itself. Look here in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. And I don't have these scriptures up on the screen. By the way, I forgot to mention, before we do that, this is a part of the introduction. In 1 Kings chapter 18, you remember, this is, and I told you to turn to 1 Kings 18. The children of Israel in the days of Ahab had begun worshiping and serving the god Baal. Now, they believed in Jehovah God, the one true and living God. No doubt they were still going through the motions of worshiping Jehovah, but they were also worshiping Baal. And Elijah says to the children of Israel there at Mount Carmel, as they gathered there at Mount Carmel, in verse 21, 1 Kings 18, Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. And that's right. They were faltering between two opinions. Which God are you going to serve? Can't serve both. They may want to try, but He says you've got to make a decision. And that's true in our life. And the decision to commit our life to Christ is a decision the Lord calls upon us to make. And if we choose not to commit our life to Christ because we're on the fence, we in essence have made the decision to reject Christ. Indecision is a decision. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." So if I don't make the commitment to Him, then I have scattered from Him. I have rejected Him. And so my indecision is a decision within itself. The man is not sure whether he should get out of this marriage, that's an unscriptural marriage, or not. He doesn't want to get out of the marriage. Rather than studying and then come to a conclusion, he just continues to straddle the fence and he stays within the marriage. Well, the decision is a decision. The decision that of straddling the fence is a decision to stay in the marriage. And he's committing adultery in that. Point is that many times the decision to not make a commitment one area or another, we are in essence making a decision. That brother who is in the church that is engaged in unscriptural practices, he continues to do that. And rather than coming to a conclusion of that, he's made the decision to stay within the church that is practicing that which is unscriptural. So, the decision we need to make is to study it and come to a conclusion. Study the decisions. And I want to tell you, I am talking to myself. Because there are many issues that I've put on the back burner. There are issues that I say, well, I'll get to this later. And I study it, and I have difficulty deciding. But I keep it on the back burner. And for years, I have let certain issues to remain there. And so I'm preaching to myself tonight to get off the fence, study this, come to some conclusions, and stand on truth. Now that may rock the boat at times. That may mean that things are not going to continue as they once were. But my goal is to please the Lord, and that means to make some decisions based on His will. And we'll talk more about that as we go through the lesson tonight. Now, life is an unending series of decisions. No responsible person can escape the necessity of choosing between the alternatives which are placed before him. We've got to make decisions if we're going to serve the Lord. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 5. Christians must distinguish between the good and the evil, right and wrong, scriptural and what is unscriptural. Hebrews chapter 5, we find that there were those who should have been teachers, but they needed to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God. They had become need of milk and not of solid food. He says in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 5. He says in verses 13 and 14, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Notice that the goal here is to discern good and evil. To discern means to make the distinction between what is good and what is evil. And our ability to do that is directly related to our skill in the Word of Righteousness. As we become more skilled in the Word, we're then better able to make these decisions. But in order to make the decision between what's good and evil as a result of the study of the Word, I've got to exercise the senses. That the senses, that word here is really referring to man's faculty of perception, that by which he makes decisions, by which he perceives things. And so as I study the Word of God, then I've got to make some decisions about how that applies to my life. And so I've got to decide, how does this then affect this? How does this apply here? As it relates to modest clothing, what the Bible says about clothing, 1 Timothy 2 and other passages, I then look at those passages and then I come to some conclusions about what's good and evil as it relates to clothing. And many times the Lord does not specify where the line is to be. But we are still to draw some conclusions in those areas. Concerning the line of modesty, where the hemline ought to come in the dress, the Lord didn't specify. But I believe a line has to be drawn because the Bible gives us some instructions about modest dress. And those instructions would mean nothing if there's no way in which I can determine whether something is modest or whether it's immodest. If whatever decision one makes is okay, then the Lord's instructions concerning modesty means nothing. His instructions are designed for us to draw some conclusions. And therefore we have to draw some lines. Let me ask you this. What would be a liberal contribution? We know the Lord wants us to give liberally on the first day of the week. Sure, to give bountifully, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Well, what is a bountiful contribution? What's a bountiful liberal contribution for me? I've got to make that decision. The Lord didn't tell me exactly. The Lord did not give me an exact percentage of my income of how much I am to give in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And so how much do I give? Some may conclude, well, we can give whatever you want to give and we'll be okay. No. There are certain instructions that the Lord has given concerning how much I am to give, and it's to be a bountiful contribution. And so I have to look at these instructions, look at the kind of heart that I am to have, and then I've got to make some decisions of whether or not this is a bountiful contribution or not. And then give that. See, there are many times the Lord does not give specific instructions about exactly what we're to do. He gives us principles, He gives us laws and instructions, and then we have to take those and exercise the senses to draw some conclusions. Well, that's indicated in Galatians chapter 5. Look over in Galatians chapter 5. In verses 19 to 21, he lists the works of the flesh. Beginning in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. And these are specific sins that are, we know then to be works of the flesh. And then he says, and the like. And the like. Now what is that? Well, I'm going to have to exercise the senses to look at what he does say here. The specifics that he does say are the works of the flesh. And then say anything that's like that would also be a work of the flesh. But I've got to make those kinds of decisions. And the Lord expects me to draw those conclusions. Someone says, why do you believe that dancing is wrong? Why have you come to that conclusion? Some people will try to decide what's right or wrong as it relates to dancing. And what I mean by dancing is men and women dancing together, holding one another, touching one another. Many times it's the bodily movements that are suggested, sexually suggested. I'm talking about that kind of dancing. I'm not just talking about jumping up and down, but I'm talking about what we consider as the modern dance, what's done at proms and places where we go to dance. And here is a boy and a girl wanting to do that. And they say, well, the Lord hasn't specifically prohibited that in Scripture, therefore, yes, that would be okay to do. Well, the Lord has given us some instructions about lust, lasciviousness, and those are the things we need to be concerned about, any situation of where our desires would be aroused, and we know that takes place in dancing. That therefore we would then need to be concerned about that. That's the reason we come to the conclusion that Christians ought not to do that. What are we doing? We're exercising the senses to discern good and evil. The same way with gambling. We can talk about it. There's no specific prohibition, but we come to the conclusion that gambling is sinful because of the principles that God has made. See what I'm saying? I'm saying to us is that we've got to make those decisions. And we know that it's not those who will say, Lord, Lord, call Jesus Lord, who will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What's the will of the Father? You've got to make a decision about that. I've got to decide about that. I've got to decide what the will of the Lord is. Now, Hebrews 5, 8 and 9 says that Jesus, though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to whom? Those who obey him. Those are the ones who will be eternally saved by him, those who obey him. What is his law? What is his will? I've got to know what his commandments are. That's what the Hebrew writer is saying here, is as you become skilled in the word of righteousness, you take that word, you exercise the senses, you're now able to discern, to make the distinction between good and between what is evil. And in Romans 12 and verse 9, it says, abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good. But I got to know what's evil and what's good. Now, you might say, this is going to take some work.
Yes.
And this is my point, is that get off the fence on these issues. Care about these issues. Because the Lord has given us some instructions about these issues. That's what it means to be a disciple of Christ. We made a commitment to follow Him. And to follow Him doesn't mean to say, okay, I believe with you, Lord, and I'll just then follow what some church has taught. No, it's saying that I am going to search your will. I'm going to come to some decisions about what your will is. And that takes work. It takes time. And we need to be putting our efforts and our time to that. We need to develop the capacity to make positive decisions. Remember Joshua, in speaking to the children of Israel, That's what He was calling upon them to do here in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, then choose your day whom you will serve." You've got to choose whether to serve the Lord or these other gods. And if you don't choose to serve the Lord, then choose what God you're going to serve. But He says, "As for me and my house, here's the decision I'm going to make." And that's what we need to do. Make decisions about serving the Lord. Choose to obey Him. A failure to make positive choices may hamper one's capacity to decide anything, and may make it easier to perpetually straddle the fence. I've been there. I know about this. And that is to straddle the fence, and I continue to straddle that fence, and I feel comfortable there. Because it's going to take time to learn these decisions. I've got to come to some conclusions. And it's going to take some time, but I never get to it. I never put forth the effort to come to any conclusions. A year passed, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. And I don't draw conclusions. And I find myself comfortable on the fence. Well, the fence is not supposed to be comfortable, but I've made it comfortable. And I'm saying what we need to do is recognize when we're on the fence on certain issues, we ought not to be comfortable. We need to be making some decisions. We need to be studying to find out what the truth is on whatever issue it is that we are vacillating, and come to some conclusions. And make sure that our conclusion is not based on what we want, but it's going to be based upon what is the truth, no matter what the consequences may be. No matter how difficult it may be for me to accept the conclusion that's God's will. That's the challenge that we have. No one can serve two masters. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 24, but we cannot say we will serve no master. Whatever decision you make, you will be making a decision. When I straddled that fence for years and years, I've made a decision to stay where I was. It may be I'm not serving the Lord and coming to a conclusion on what He has said. Some methods of avoiding decisions is this: silence those who call upon you to make a decision. That is, I just don't want to talk to the person who wants to discuss this question because it's too uncomfortable to deal with. And so I continually straddle the fence by silencing the person that wants to talk to me about it. You know what they did to Stephen when they did not want to deal with what Stephen was preaching? They silenced him by stoning him to death. And that's the way some people don't want to deal with an issue. They kill the preacher. They kill the one that's trying to lead them in the ways of truth. And that's one way it's done. Another one is by just emphasis on tolerance. There are those who would admit that they would be better off if they would choose to follow Jesus, for example, for the decision to become a Christian. But since so many people do not do that, it is convenient to take the broad-minded view and thereby avoid any struggle over moral or religious decisions. In other words, it's difficult to make that decision to commit your life to Christ, and so we then come to the conclusion everybody's okay. And we can just tolerate everyone, and that makes it easy for me to stay where I am because we emphasize tolerance. It's easier for them to accept everyone and their beliefs than to take a stand themselves, because taking a stand is going to put them in that rut that's going to lead them down a road they don't want to go. And so they avoid it by agreeing with everyone, by accepting everyone and their beliefs. But what does the Bible tell us to do Jude verse 3 says, contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. To contend earnestly for it, to contend as a combatant in the face of opposition, that means I have needed to have taken a stand on those issues, on the faith. And as I take a stand, then I'm going to contend for it in the face of those who oppose it. Paul said in Philippians 1 verse 17, he was set for the defense of the gospel. Defending because he had taken a position. He had come to a conclusion about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he then defended it. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. But if I don't come to a conclusion, I'm not going to be able to defend one or another. I tell you, there have been issues of where when the issue comes up, I have said, I'm not really sure about that. And then I find myself a year later, the issue comes up, and I find myself saying it again. I haven't come to a conclusion on that yet. Or I'm not sure about that. I haven't drawn a conclusion. I wish somebody would come to me and say to me, Lynn, I think I heard you say that a year ago, maybe 5 years ago. Don't you think you need to be coming to a conclusion by now? Don't you think you need to have been taking a position on this? And they would have said exactly what I needed to hear. We must draw conclusions, but that requires study. Yes, it requires time. But it requires us doing something to draw those conclusions, to come to a conclusion. The life of a Christian involves deep conviction. We know that. You know, I think about the apostles in Matthew chapter 5 when they had been put in prison. I said Matthew, I'm talking about Acts chapter 5. They'd been put in prison, brought before the Jewish council. And the Jewish council said, we strictly charge you not to teach in the name of Jesus. Behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Verse 29, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus and you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to His right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are His witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey Him. They were not about to back away from the gospel because they were being threatened by these Jewish leaders. And look, going to verse 40 to 42, and they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, notice they were beaten here, the apostles are beaten, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And notice, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. These men were men of conviction. They knew what was truth, and nothing was going to deter them from that. And that's the kind of decisions we need to come to, because Christians are people of conviction. We draw conclusions, and we stand firmly in that which we know to be the truth. Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Faithful. How faithful? Unto death. Unto the point of death. I'm willing to give my life for it. That's the conviction. And we've known of people who have that kind of conviction, who are willing to give their life. They've given their life for what they believe, for what they know to be the truth. We may not be faced with a life-death situation, but it may be some difficult situations. I've told this story before, and this was a young man who was in high school. And he was the star quarterback. And he played on a championship team. And I think this may have been even a very important game for his high school team. But he was a Christian. And he was a member of a local congregation that was having a gospel meeting where the Word of God was being preached to that community. And they no doubt had invited their friends and neighbors to come to this great effort of trying to lead lost souls to Jesus Christ. And so he has faced with a decision. Is he going to play? They need him on that ball game, that team. Or is he going to attend that assembly to be there with his fellow saints, supporting that preaching, being there to welcome those visitors, to be there to encourage the work of the Lord? Where would he go? Well, this young man's name was Stan, and it's a true story. I may not have all the details exactly right. But he decided to attend that gospel meeting. That's right. He made the right decision. Was it easy for him? Probably not. It was probably difficult. I don't know how it affected his being able to be on the team. He may have lost his position. I don't know. But he did what was right. He put first things first. And I've heard it said before, and I've mentioned it here, whenever there's a conflict between what some ball team is doing and what the Lord's team is doing, which one has the priority? Ball team, Lord's team. When you put it that way, everybody understands the Lord's team and what the Lord's team is doing is far more important than what this ball game, this ball team is doing. I'm saying we're going to face decisions like that every day, and we've got to exercise the senses, look at the principle God has given us in His Word, and make the decisions not as the world views it, but as God views it. As God would then look upon us making the decision. Look at things as God sees them, not as the world sees them, and as I would like for them to be. And of course, correct standards have to be adopted, and we've already mentioned this. It is possible for people to be loyal to that which is actually displeasing to God. There are those who may be very convicted in something which is wrong. Jesus said in John 16, verse 2, that there will be those who will kill the apostles thinking they're serving God. And so, just because you're convicted in something and you're standing up for it and maybe even give your life for it, doesn't mean you're right. You know, the decision you have to make has to be the right decision. And it has to be according to truth. It has to be according to what God has said. The Word of God is our standard. You remember Paul thought he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Acts 26 and verse 9. He thought he ought to persecute Christians in serving God. But he was wrong about that. And so we have to then look to God's Word, the truth. Sanctify them in thy truth, Jesus prayed in John 17 verse 17. Thy Word is truth. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So make sure we become skilled in the word of righteousness, in the truth, and that be the basis upon which we draw our conclusions, with the desire to please the Lord and do His will in everything. So, my challenge to us is get off the fence and make the decisions you need to make, and then put it into practice. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to what is good. Stand up for what is true. Contend earnestly for the faith. Defend the gospel. That's a Christian. That's a disciple of Jesus Christ. Appreciate your kind attention tonight. There may be some here this evening who have never made the decision to become a Christian. Been straddling the fence. You have not made the decision because it's been difficult for you. But you know what you need to do. Make the decision now. Get off that fence. Come to Jesus. Believe in Him. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. Be baptized for the remission of your sins tonight. And those of you who have become Christians but have not been searching the Lord's will in your life as you ought, then repent. And make the changes you need to make so that you might be right with God. If you need to come, please come while together we stand and sing.